It's great to hear stories this morning of how God has been at work in people's lives. And even though it's sad to say goodbye to people that we've come to love, it's great to be able to come to God with thankfulness and gratitude for all that God has done in and through them, and how God has used them to shape us more and more into the image of Christ and to bless our church and to encourage us to be more and more people that live like Jesus, reaching out with God's hope and love. And, it's encouraging just being with the group of people at New Wine this week, just to hang around them and chat to them kind of off guard and certainly off stage. And you hear stories of God's transformation in people, how perhaps a shift of perspective, which Michelle shared, didn't she, from here just a few moments ago, or, perhaps a plan somebody had for their lives that has been altered by God speaking into them. It's so encouraging to see God active and moving in people's lives. And it reminds us when we share them that we don't come then to a kind of a dormant, dead kind of God who is passive and far away in the sky, but we come to a God who is active in our lives and wanting to shape us and wanting to move in and around us. And that's what makes the Christian faith so dynamic and so appealing, is that actually we're not just going through rituals that are kind of absent from reality, but we worship a God who's engaged deeply with our reality and has done so in history and continues to do so today. And then in this text that we have here, a familiar passage, familiar miracle of Jesus. It's the only miracle of Jesus that occurs in all four of the Gospels. So it must be significant. It is again a moment of transformation, but it's also a key moment of revelation into who Jesus is and what he's like. When things are offered to Jesus, he does something with them. When you take time out, even perhaps when you can't seemingly afford to do so, or you sacrifice a week of annual leave, or you give up the comforts of life and camp in the mud in the West Country. Whenever you make a sacrifice and offer something of yourself to God, he always offers something back. Always. I've run out of clothes, really, which is why I'm dressed like this morning. I'm not making some statement about being a trendy, subversive kind of vicar, but I have one clerical shirt that's clean. Not that I wore clerical shirts all week. I just happen to have one clerical shirt that's clean, and it's the colour of the trousers. And I just thought if I wore this, I'd camouflage with the salmon coloured chairs, and it just would be too much. So this is my only shirt that works with my only clean pair of trousers. But you all came here to hear me tell you that. But three things which may not be overly new, but they're important from this text. Firstly, verse 14, if you're following in a Bible, that's always a good thing to do. It's much better for you to look at the Word of God than it is to look at me, beautiful though I am. All right. Verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. You know, all of Christian mission, all of the church's activity, all that we are trying to do in terms of reaching out to people must always begin with compassion. Must always begin with compassion. We are co-workers with God by his sheer grace, all about people, not projects. We're not about the numbers on the board, or about whether we're doing something cool and trendy, but we're about seeing people changed and transformed. Our objective of winning people for Christ is because we care about people. We have compassion for people. And, sometimes we think the mission begins with an objective or a target or a project. Yet all of Jesus' ministry, including this passage, comes from compassion. In other passages in Matthew, it's replicated in Luke 2. We hear Jesus looking at the crowds. He says they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion upon them. And from that, he then encourages the church, or the disciples then rather, to pray that God would send more laborers into the harvest field, because the heart of God, the heart of Jesus breaks as he sees so much need and so many souls that are not yet connected with him. And it's out of compassion that he says, we've got to do something about this. All of Christian mission begins with compassion. And that's how it always has been since the dawning of time. Is it because we're a project that God has come to us? Is it because God thought, I know what I'll do, I'll create churches. That would be an amazing institution. That would be so much fun. Great. No, of course not. It's because God looked down the lens of human history, symbolized in the creation of Adam and Eve in close relationship with him, and his heart melts with compassion for people that are estranged from him, enemies of God, even St. Paul says, who God longs for friendship with. Jesus didn't come because he's got some great divine assignment. He comes because of the heart of love in the Father that says, I cannot be without these people. I love these people. I care for these people. I have compassion on mercy and mercy on all of humanity which I've made. So here's a people, Israel, to be a light to the nations. And when that didn't work out quite as well as it needed to, here is my Son. Giving, God giving of himself, because he loved us and cares for us so much. And of course, compassion so often and always leads to action. Jesus comes sent from the Father as the ultimate expression of God's compassion for all humanity. And then in the text and in other examples through Jesus' ministry, it's Jesus' compassion for the crowds that leads him to heal the sick. It is compassion for the crowds. He says, no, let's not send them home hungry. We'll give them something to eat. Actually, he cares about the people that are assembled there. It matters to him. They matter to him. And of course, when Jesus then goes on to heal their sick, we know in the Greek text in the New Testament, that's usually the word sozo, closely linked to the word salvation, which really means that the heart of Jesus is for wholeness. For those people to be, not yet, I mean, I'm not denying the physical reality of the healing, that's what's meant, but as part of that as well, there's the sense that healing is complete when people are put back together and made whole. And so Christian mission, which always springs from compassion, or should do, is sometimes then about meeting the practical needs. The people are hungry. It's been a long day. They've listened to a long, long sermon. And they're getting a bit crotchety. A bit like you will be in 20 minutes' time. Thinking about the roast lamb in the oven. So there's a practical issue which Jesus deals with. He serves their needs. But there's a spiritual matter too. He brings healing. And he brings wholeness. It's all about restoring a whole person, not just compartments of us. And we see that again so often in the ministry of Jesus, where he deals with the issue, he feeds the hungry, and in other gospels Jesus teaches the people practical need, spiritual need. And you know, if you think about where we kind of are headed in the next year as a church, it's all about enabling mission. It's all about that part of our kind of vision statement that we want to reach out with God's hope and God's love. And, you know, and that isn't just about proclaiming with our voices. In fact, almost that's secondary. It's about serving people, showing compassion on people. And that out of a heart of compassion says, yeah, actually, you might need a drink, or you might need some help with this particular project, or you might be lonely and need some company. But actually, because we love you and care for you so much, we're also going to tell you about the one who will always be your friend and will always walk with you. It's about both things. It's about both things. And, it's about the practical and the spiritual. Christian mission begins with compassion, and it reaches out in action. Secondly, and much more briefly, verse 16, again, if you're reading the text, Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me then, he says. Bring them here to me. We need to give what we have to Jesus. And I don't know what it is you have today. I don't know whether it's a talent. I don't know whether it's an experience. I don't know whether it's faith, big or small, strong or struggling. I don't know whether it's insight. I don't know whether it's personality. I don't know whether it might be time or a new kind of vacancy or a burden on your heart that has kind of been stirred up at the minute. Whatever it is, offer what you have to Jesus. Give it over to him. This is what the disciples did. Bring it here to me, Jesus says. And they did. It might well be something tough that you need to offer to Jesus today. It might be that you're in a place of brokenness. It might be that your experience at the minute is fear about the future. I don't know what this is going to look like. Maybe you're in a place where you're grieving. Maybe you're sick. Or your body just won't do what you long for it to do. Maybe you're doubting all that God seems to have been promised, seems to have promised to you, that seems to be coming true for everybody else but not you. Maybe hope has disappeared. Whatever it is that is kind of figuratively at the front of your heart, mind at the minute, whatever it is that's in your soul, offer it to Jesus. And everyone will have something. The difficulty so often is that we want to cling on to it. You know, perhaps we've got some time or talent or a bit of spare money or something. We think, yeah, I'd like to offer this to Jesus, but as long as Jesus uses it, here. It's fully yours, Lord, but you must use it. There. I've got a talent. You know, I'm willing to give it to you, Lord. You can do anything with it as long as you don't take me there. I remember I went into the stationery process when I moved here saying, Lord, I'll go anywhere for you, but not Blackpool or London. I don't know why that's relevant, but, you know, the point was, is this stupidity of saying we will go anywhere, but there's no but in the offering to things of God. And if you're on the flip side of that and you're in the point of struggling, it's equally tempting to still cling on to things. Lord, I'm in despair. I give you my despair, but actually I'll just cling on to it a bit more because, you know, I'll keep it with me a bit. Or, you know, I'll give you my fear about the future, but actually I'm still going to choose to be worried about it. Folks, we need to fully offer ourselves and offer what we have at the moment over to Jesus. I know we don't take an offering here, and it's one of the things that I love about this place, one of the many, many things that I love. But imagine if we did take a collection, an offering, and you put something in the plate. And in most churches, the plate is, or the bag are passed around, aren't they? You said, yeah, I'll put something in the plate. But actually, you refuse to let go of it. Oh, it'd be ludicrous, wouldn't it? You'd have 150 people chasing around the people trying to do the offertory. It'd be chaos. And of course, it can't fully rest in the plate and can't fully be used unless actually you loose hands of it. I'm not talking necessarily about money, as I think you know. The disciples offer to Jesus what they have. It doesn't seem very much, just a few loaves and a few fish. Probably a couple of pickled sardines is probably what they mean. But look what happens. The little that they have, they give to Jesus. And it is transformed. Which brings me on to the heading towards the end. Let's try and be brief. Actually, a little is a lot in the hands of Jesus. A little is a lot in the hands of Jesus. You see, the disciples are are fixated on the size of the need and the smallness of the resources. There's a whole crowd of people. Verse 21 says the number of those who ate was about 5,000, and then the women and children. There's about 15,000 people here, maybe as much as 20,000, some of the scholars think. All right? So the disciples are thinking, there's all this need, and all we've got is this. There's all this need, and all we've got is this. I wonder whether we're ever in that place too. Look at our community or look at our church. We see all the things that aren't being done as we'd love them to be. Oh, there's all this need. And we've only got this. But God's resources are always enough. God's resources, hear me, God's resources are always enough. Enough energy, enough strength, enough vision, enough passion. God's resources are always enough. And so a little can be an awful lot in the hands of Jesus. So simply, what is it that you are bringing to Jesus today that needs transforming, or perhaps needs multiplying, or perhaps needs sharing out? What is it that you'll put into the hands of Jesus? No, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I am knackered. I'm 10 days off my next holiday. Somebody said to me today, did you have a nice holiday in Shepton Mallet? I didn't mean it rudely at all, but you know, I'm 10 days off holiday, so you don't need to feel pity for me. I'm just, you know, got my eyes on the horizon. I can see the M5 M40 actually, sorry, I'm going to London first. I can see it there, imagine it. But, you know, as any of you would, in any walk of life, it's nothing special to me. When you get to the end of the time and you've haven't had a break for a long while, you look to the future, don't you, and you think, I just need to get there. Man, I'm tired. And as I was preparing this, I was just thinking about that and thinking, man alive, I feel tired at the minute. You know, it feels an effort to do the simple things. And so I'm coming to God today, just like you will be with other things, and saying, God, what I bring to you is tiredness. It's just a little bit of energy. It's just a little bit. It feels like a pathetic amount. But I'm saying, God, here is what I've got. Will you take it? And will you transform it? And will you resource me? Will you refresh me? Will you use me? And there's other people in this room that will be far more exhausted than I am and have got far more kind of significant things going on. I fully recognize that. So maybe today is your time where you come to Jesus and say, look, this is where I'm at, Jesus. This is where I'm at. Will you take it? And will you just add your blessing to it? Will you transform it? And will you do something incredible? Will you supply all that is needed and more? Which, of course, is what happens in this wonderful passage. There are 12 baskets left over. The people were satisfied. You know, the 12 baskets left over. Matthew's writing for the Jewish audience. He's probably talking about the fulfillment of the promises of Israel, 12 tribes. You know, 12 baskets, 12 tribes of Israel. There was enough. That's what he's trying to say. There was more than enough, in fact. There's always more than enough. They all ate, verse 20, it says, and were satisfied. And so we're about to come to the table of the Lord in just a few moments' time. And so maybe we come with that longing in our hearts to be transformed. And we come to the feast of the King. You know, when we come to communion, practically speaking, because we're giving you stuff, you come with hands open. And I wonder today, as you queue up, and remember to walk past the people to go to the next station, not form a chaotic thing in the middle. Get it right, people. But I wonder, actually, as we come lifting our hands, we first say in that movement, Lord, here I am. It's almost like a bringing up, an offering. It's a physical thing that symbolizes what's going on spiritually. I offer where I'm at to you, Lord. And as we receive then into empty hands, physically, the bread that gives us and reminds us of the promises of God, even to eternal life, and we drink the blood that cleanses our souls and satisfies our spirits and nourishes us, we're saying, God, in this symbol of transformation and spiritual nourishment, would you just give back to me all that I need? And as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we drink deep of the resources of God. We drink deep of God's grace. We drink deep of God's Spirit. We are filled again with the nourishing presence of God. You know, we are coming today to the table of one who satisfies the longing of our souls. Hungry people are fed. We're satisfied, and there is some left over. God has enough for what you need at the moment. He has more than enough. Enough grace, enough power, enough strength. All of Christian mission begins with compassion. Jesus invites us to his table today because he has compassion on us and longs to make us whole. What is it that you need to bring to Jesus today and say, here I am, here it is? What is it? And know, friends, the promise of God that whatever it is you offer, he has more than enough. He will transform what you offer, transform even you, no doubt, actually. And allow you to know that his grace is sufficient. And whether it's in strength or even in weakness, his power is forever made perfect in you. Jesus has compassion on the people. He bids you come, offer what you have to him, and watch him transform. A little is an awful lot in the hands of Jesus.